This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. So far, I made it through the first hour, but I do think I'm going to get off the show maybe around 10 just because not feeling great and just need rest and a lot of different type of cough drops and things like that. But let's go to Jet. Hey, Jet, how are you?
Dr. John, glad to hear that things have at least settled down a little bit in Claytonville.
Oh.
But I certainly missed talking to you last week, and I'm glad I get a chance to briefly talk to you here today. Don't ever feel bad about having to take care of yourself or things at home. Believe me, there'll be other Saturdays, but, you know, there'll never be another situation at home. So,
yeah,
just take care of yourself and Mrs. C, and I'm glad to hear she's back home and things have kind of sorted out a little bit there.
Yeah, so, and again, it was probably one of the toughest weekends, weeks, I guess you could say, I've ever had.
Yeah. I'm certainly familiar with that, and don't ever feel bad about it, John. We'll be here for you whenever you come back.
Oh, I appreciate that.
So don't ever sweat that. Not that I don't enjoy talking to you. However, I got to talk about the Jets. I'm not so sure I'm happy about that right now. But what? Why is this defense so bad at this point? I mean, it's not just they're bad. They're historically bad. And they simply just can't do the fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
I watch them week after week. You know, I dissect each play as we go along as best as I can. And I just can't figure out. I mean, it's just consistent. They just can't figure it out. And you know, okay, they're a little weak on the personnel, perhaps, especially in the back half. But, you know, it's more than that. It's more than that. And I just can't figure out. But it's as C.J. Mosley said, it's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I think it's talent. They don't have enough talent. I mean, you know, we've talked about the cornerback position. That hasn't been good. You know, the linebackers haven't been that good. I think the defensive line's just been underachieving.
Yes. I will say, okay, now, the defensive line was supposed to be the strength of this defense,
yeah.
Okay? And you guys that have played well in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the problem really starts up front. For whatever reason... And I don't know if it's schematic and you just don't have the right guys in the right scheme or what, but these guys just are not picking off the linemen. I understand that they're getting double teamed. Okay, and that's what the Colts do. That's what the Eagles do. Okay, that's their game plan. Okay, fine. And they've got some great offensive linemen, and they run the ball on everybody, and the Colts. I get that. Okay. But, you know, everybody's gashing them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder – you know, is it these guys aren't following the scheme, if they're not designed for the scheme? But I think I think it's a nail on the head. The up front, they're just underachieving.
Right.
Now, yes, in the backfield, look, you lost your two safeties. You know, don't forget, they lost LaMarcus Joyner in the preseason.
Right.
So he never even took the field.
Uh-huh.
All right. And then Marcus May went down about 5 weeks ago. All right. And I'm watching Ashton Davis for the second year in a row. He's got to learn that you need to use your arms to tackle people.
Right.
You know, on one of those touchdowns by Dallas Goedert last week that Mosley got beat on, he comes over, and he had a chance to make the tackle at about, I don't know, 5-7 yard line.
Uh-huh.
And what's he do? He throws a shoulder at a thigh. Okay, well, Ashton, you have two arms. You have to wrap them up as well. Do you really think you're still in Berkeley and you're just going to knock an NFL tight end down by hitting him in the thigh with your shoulder?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he weighs 50 pounds more than you. I mean, seriously. And then you're watching these kids, they're falling down. They're running these simple rub routes.
Uh-huh.
And these guys are getting picked off, you know, and they're wide open. There's a breakdown, and I think it's more than just talent, John.
Yeah.
I really think it's more than just talent, because if it was talent, they'd be bad, okay?
Yeah.
But they're historically bad, and they're consistently bad. And, you know, you keep banging your head against the wall, it's not going to help things. You got to stop figuring out how to stop banging your head against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't seem to be able to do that. And I think there's a problem upstairs. Yes, there's a problem on the field. Okay.
Yeah.
But there's more than that. They're just too bad for that. It's, yes, it's a talent issue, but it's more than that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I still think it's so much talent, but you're right. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you like Robert Saleh, but maybe the defensive coordinator's out of sync.
Yes.
That could be.
Out of sync and out of sync with the talent.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not seeing adjustments made. Now, I understand, you know, that they've got their system. They want to play their system. Okay, uh-huh. Fine. But at some point, you know, the key to good coaching is to adjust your system to the talent that you have.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and how many times have we seen people, you know, coaches that are just so hell-bent on, well, this is my system. I'm a genius. It's going to work.
Uh-huh.
You know, but if you don't have the people to play it, you know, you've got to make the adjustments. Otherwise, you're going to be historically bad. And I think that's what we're seeing here. I give LaFleur credit. He's really that offense is starting to gel.
Right.
And of course, they've also, well, honestly, they spent a ton of draft capital and resources on the offense, and they've mm-hmm. really kind of left the defense to rot, or the injuries have just whiffled the defense.
Right.
But, I think there are some good things that we're seeing here. And I like having Duvernay at guard. He's mm-hmm. definitely picked up the play there. But Becton, again, Sella's not saying anything. It's been 11 weeks. And we're still not seeing hide or hair of Becton. We have no information on him. Do you have any insight as to where
None.
He is? Or where he...
None.
And they've been as tight-lipped can be, and I'm a little concerned about that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because, again, it's been the long injury, and, again, I mean, so much was expected of him at left tackle.
Well, yeah. I mean, this was the year for him and Vera mm-hmm. Tucker to gel together and build that monster left side of the line, although Vera Tucker's been amazing. This kid is really everything he's built to be. And I know they had to move up a little bit to get him, but, man, that was draft capital well spent.
Yeah, agreed.
But what do you think about – I was watching Bart Scott on the pregame show on SNY, and he proffered a theory that moving Becton to right tackle, because Fant actually has been playing quite well. He has really taken to this system.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses has played pretty well, too. But the tackles have been doing pretty well. But Bart Scott was suggesting moving Becton to right tackle and turn him into like a road grader a la, you know, like Damian Woody, for example.
Right.
Or Lane Johnson or somebody, and just run to the right. And then they do need to draft a center this year because McGovern, I think, has one more year on his contract.
Yeah.
And they've got to groom somebody for the following year. So. But you draft yourself a good solid center, and you got yourself a real nice offensive line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. So, but again, I mean, it's just not a good team. That's the thing that's tough.
Well, there's holes.
Yeah.
I think we are slowly seeing the development of a team.
Mm-hmm.
But there are still an awful lot of holes that still need to be filled. And we knew that there was going to be a problem. And we knew that they had an awful lot of preseason injuries on defense. And we knew the defense was going to be suspect going in. But I didn't think it'd be this bad. And you're just not seeing any progress on defense.
Right.
And if you take C.J. Moore out of that defense, they are sunk.
Mm-hmm.
They are
mm-hmm.
sunk.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I mean, I really hope he gets some Pro Bowl recognition because he's had himself a whale of a season. Trying to clean up one heck of a
Yeah, it's going to be tough because, again, I mean, yeah, if you're a team with a record that like they're going to have, it's hard, despite the great play, to make the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But he certainly should be in contention because he has really gone above and beyond the call of duty on this team. And they've got the draft capital. So,
uh-huh.
You know, they should be able to pick up some decent players with, especially if the Panthers keep sinking.
Right.
That's a nice get for the second round, and of course we'll see what the although they have a cupcake schedule, we'll see what the Seahawks end up with. But they'll probably end up with about 7 wins, I would guess.
Yeah, I would think so.
But we still thank Jamal every week.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
We're awful sorry to see what happened to him at the end of this year too. So
yeah, it's 2 years in a row, and now it's at 2 shoulder surgeries. in a year. Yep. That's not good.
No, especially he's not that old.
No, no.
He's what, 25?
About that, yeah.
26?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's not that old. And if you've got those problems already, those are tough for defensive backs. Mm-hmm. Because you got a lot of high-impact collisions, and those things don't get better.
So. Hey, well, Jet, well, thank you for the phone call.
All right, John. Well, feel better and take care of Mrs. C. And, you know, whatever happens, we'll be here whenever you come back.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks. Take care.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Rick in North Forks, in Arkansas. Hey, Rick.
Hey, John. Hey, I've been praying for you and Pat. And
oh, appreciate
I'm sure
that.
There's thousands of us that are doing the same thing. I stick to a real strong lemon routine where mm-hmm. I eat. I won't go into it, but vitamin C and fluids. So
yeah,
I appreciate you soldiering on for all us fans. You know, I'm a closet Seahawks fan, being a Bears fan. I think you remember that conversation.
Yeah, agreed.
And you were mostly right. Their offensive line's terrible. If I remember, Holmgren, he said he made a mistake drafting offensive linemen, expecting them to work out right away, when he found out that he's better off doing that. If you need like immediate fix, you mm-hmm. do that with your defensive linemen. Except Pete and John haven't had a lot of luck or injuries or whatever with their choices in the last 5 years on defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, you painted yourself in a corner, Pete and John, and you know it. And you tried to, you know, last year it seemed like it was an all or nothing thing with Jamal Adams, and unfortunately that didn't work out. And I like his play.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy about the defensive scheme. I wish Sala was our defensive coordinator. But mm-hmm. anyhow, this is my crazy proposal, and
okay,
I know it'll get all the Seahawks fans mad, but since the only thing I've got is a Michael Bennett jersey,
mm-hmm.
Trade DK Metcalf.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Here's why. You won't be able to get a quarterback like Russ. You won't be able to get many wide receivers like DK. But you don't have any draft capital. You painted yourself into a corner. You got to do something. You know, no one's going to touch Adams, Wilson, Bobby Wagner's contracts and
right.
stuff. And they're the core of your team. And to get a Bobby Wagner that's still playing well after all these years, half a step slower, but still with the same kind of, you know, everything that goes by him, he just about tackles until maybe late in the game and they can barely stand up.
Mm-hmm.
But you need draft capital, and you've got the Giants there with two first-round draft picks, and that's the one I'm looking at. I'm not figuring we can't deal with the Jets. I'm putting myself in John's thing. And as much as I hate to get rid of Metcalf, I need draft capital. And I, with two first-round picks.
You're not going to get two first-round picks for DK Metcalf. That's not
then
happening.
Then I wouldn't trade him.
Yeah. Then
yeah, I know. That's how bad you've painted yourself in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that someone covets someone that could be the next Megatron with the right offense?
You can get a first rounder and another draft choice, but you're not getting two first rounders.
Yeah, well, I was actually looking for two firsts and a third.
I don't know
how realistic it is, but
it's totally unrealistic. You're not going to get it.
That's unfortunate because there's not much they can do. And with their past history of their free agent acquisitions, like Hyder, Mayoa, and stuff, they're mm-hmm. underperforming their historic numbers. You know, if you could count on Dunlap and all those guys to get the same thing that they did last year, you know, you'd look fine defensively, and you wouldn't be on the field as much.
Mm-hmm.
They just can't, somehow in their defensive scheme, they can't scheme third down.
Yeah.
And they get in a good position a lot of times, up to third down.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'd be like third and 11, and you know.
Yeah, but the problem hasn't been on defense of late. It's been on the offense.
Oh, no. I agree with that, but the reason why I like the Seahawks in the first place is they're like the 85 Bears. They're
right.
just a very aggressive defense.
Uh-huh.
You know, that quarterback didn't have 3 seconds to get the ball out of his hands, which makes your cornerbacks better. You
mm-hmm.
can, you know, you can play up on them, and, well, anyhow, I'll throw the timing off, and it'll give Russ more opportunities.
Right.
To even though he looked good, that's all he looked. He looked good. He didn't look like he was back, and it certainly wasn't one of his best games, but it was much better than the average that you see out there every Sunday or every time you turn on a game.
So yeah, I mean, 30 of 37 was pretty good. 30 of 37 for 231 yards is a good bounce back.
Yeah, I just thought if I was a good enough salesman, I could sell the Giants on that they'd get the next Megatron, and they've had Odell Beckham Jr., and this is Odell Beckham Jr. without the problems. But I've seen enough, I have to say, boneheaded things from DK that I could afford to cut him loose. I thought he cost him at least one game this year. And you can't hurt the team, and he keeps doing it.
Well, he has in the last couple of weeks. I mean, he's been pretty good, no taunting and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, he'd be on notice. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be against trading him if he gave me a problem.
Yeah. He's still one of your best.
But I'd have to get something like that.
You're right.
If I was thinking I could get like two first rounds or at least
unrealistic. That doesn't happen in a National Football League.
Yeah, I know. It's a quarterback driven league.
Yeah.
Well, you can't trade one of the best four quarterbacks in the league. So, I said, you're stuck. You're in a corner.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have free agency.
Well, if my job depended on it, if I was John Schneider, because we haven't heard anything from Jody, but I really
and
like
how do you think Russ will take this to losing DK Metcalf? Not well.
Yeah, but he's still a Seattle quarterback. I mean, I don't see him going anywhere. I don't believe all the stuff that I hear from the national media.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yes, it is. You know, and it's just that they don't want him there. They want him.
Uh-huh.
And it's sort of like I said, I'm a Bears fan. I'm Russell Wilson and three first-round draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to take a hard swallow because I'd be like Ditka back in New Orleans, and I'd say, no, I can't afford that much draft capital for one of the best quarterbacks who could run the show. Maybe a third-year Russell Wilson, I might think about it. But,
but no, that's not happening on DK Metcalf.
Yeah, well, I don't know what they're going to do because other than that, they don't really have any superstars that, with a good contract, right? He's still on his rookie contract.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Hey, thank you for the phone call.
All right.
All right. 866-979 ESPN 206-421 ESPN. We're going to get off at 10 o'clock because I'm still fighting this cold. Our weekly dose of the Groz coming up next with Dave Grosby.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
It is time for our weekly dose of the Groz with Dave Grosby, and a little bit earlier because not feeling well. I didn't know if I could make it through 3 hours. I'm going to make it through two, so we're going to get off the air at 10. And so, David, I've been fighting this cold now, but turns out Irish Mankey has the same thing.
That's going to make people talk, John. That's going to make people talk. You shouldn't say stuff like that.
I know, but
And I hope it's just a cold, buddy.
Yeah, it is. That's all it is. I mean,
get yourself checked out.
Mm-hmm, yeah, so it's like, just trying to take it as easy as I can, just staying in bed, eating a lot of cod crops.
Getting old as hell, isn't it, John?
Yeah, it is.
I got some news of my own. I'm gonna have to have a knee replacement.
Oh, you're kidding?
No.
Why?
Well, my knee is messed up.
Uh-huh.
I haven't actually been able to basically get out of my house in 3 months. I can't walk. I'm using a walker, for crying out loud. A bright red one, and I call it the Mach 5, but still using a walker.
So when's your surgery?
Well, I didn't find out till yesterday that was actually the problem. They had a tough time diagnosing it, so I see the surgeon in a month, and they set the date, and then, it happens.
Okay.
I become bionic.
Wow. Is it going to be a bad one, or?
I don't see they're ever good ones, although, I mean, the result is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a painful process, but I mean it hurt. I'm telling you, I'm hurting so bad anyway, John, that it was great news to find it out for me. Actually,
yeah.
Just like when you find out that your cough is nothing, it would be great news for you.
Yeah,
to find that out.
Well, cough is just a cough. That's all it is.
Well, I'm surprised that you're probably just, your throat wasn't sore and you're not upset at yelling at people about Russell Wilson being traded.
Yeah, but how about Russell helping out on Thursday, saying that he wants to stay with the team through his contract and beyond that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you're looking for other answers, people, and why you would want other answers. I mean, this, you know, and I read what you wrote on the webpage yesterday, and it was just, it was putting it exactly right. I mean, why would you want to set yourself back to a point where you're looking and searching for your franchise quarterback when it is so difficult to find one, when you actually have one in the middle of his prime, and one who wants to stay, who wants to play here, plus one who never gets in trouble,
mm-hmm.
you know, doesn't cause any off the field problems of any kind, and when he's feeling well like he was last week, is one of the elite quarterbacks in the game.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, people will not let this story go nationwide.
I don't get it. I guess you're just desperate for clicks or hits or something like that. Now, you know, if you're looking at a story, you might want to wonder a little bit more about his supporting cast, and I'm including mm-hmm. the front office in that, because the most powerful man in any organization when he becomes a super franchise quarterback is that super franchise quarterback.
Right.
And this is not the Patriots. You don't have a Bill Belichick autocrat running things. So I think it'll be more interesting to see what happens as this year plays out with Pete Carroll and with the other guys.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
That's a story. I mean, there's a possibility there, but once you've got Russell Wilson saying, you know, as clearly as he can for the record that he wants to stay, you know, bask in it. You've got a franchise quarterback. Worry about other things on the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so, and again, you can understand the way this season is gone when you take away your franchise quarterback for, you know, six games total, three where he missed it, three where he didn't play like Russell Wilson. I mean, you can see why the team has dropped.
That's a big part of it, but, I mean, you know, in fairness to everyone else looking at it, you can also wonder if, in fact, he's really connected with their new play caller, if he's really done the job there, if they've done a good job of, you know, in the last couple of years of putting talent around him. So there are other questions you can ask as well about that situation. But, look, I think at the end of the day, don't try and create a problem where there isn't one.
Right.
And don't find yourself needing to find a franchise quarterback. Boy, that is just shooting yourself in the head in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. But again, all around the country, everybody keeps, and they've been doing this now since February. Like I've said, in 50 years of covering the league, it is the most overdone story I have ever seen and heard. It's awful.
For him, there's no point in talking about it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you've said what you've got to say. You made your statement. You want to stay. You're not going anywhere. There's really no point in talking about it anymore if reporters ask you about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't be a shock to me if he just stopped talking about it, because from his standpoint, he's done all he can do.
Thoughts on the Jamal Adams surgery, on his second shoulder surgery?
Yeah, you know, that's another one, John. I mean, and this is just maybe in the spirit of this lousy year, but all of a sudden people are ranking this as the worst trade in Seahawks history? I mean, aren't we pulling the trigger a little bit soon on that?
Yeah.
Look, I mean, right now it doesn't feel good, obviously. I mean, his second year was nothing like his first year, and this is one of those questions that I'd wonder about in terms of philosophy and things like that, not having him do perhaps what he's best at. But he's going to come back from this, and you've still got him for 3 or 4 years under contract. There's no reason why he can't regain his status as an elite mm-hmm. safety in this league. So, boy, to just punch the ticket on that one when the guy is, what, 25 years old is crazy to me.
I'm just amazed how negative the fans, because I think obviously they're spoiled.
Well, definitely. I mean, you know, this is a place you've been winning for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 9 straight years you've been a dominant franchise, and this is the first losing season, and it's time to break it all up. I mean, it's as though you don't learn the lessons of the past. I mean, I use the phrase, John, and it doesn't always apply, but
yeah.
It usually applies. Don't get tired of winning. Don't get tired of winning, you know, because if you do, you make dramatic changes, the winning can go away. And we've seen it. We've seen it in this town. You know, we saw it when Lou Piniella was shown the door, and the Mariners really haven't won since. Back in the day, we showed it when the Sonics, you know, showed George Karl the door, and they struggled to get back to where they were. I mean, you just you know, you've got a situation here where you're having an off year. There's no question about that. You're a year removed from a 12-win division-winning season, and you've been winning since. Now you're stumbling a little in the playoffs, and I agree that the bar for the Seahawks can't be set higher than it is for other teams because of the fact that they've had so much success. So you really need to have at least one win in the postseason to consider it a successful season. That's where the Seahawks are right now. You know, if we had gone back in time and told our 90s counterparts this stuff, we'd look at you like you're crazy. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's you've got something that's winning. We'll see what happens at the end of the year. But it seems to me like in general, the Jamal Adams thing, John, much like everything else, is a dramatic overreaction to what's mm-hmm. happening in a single season.
No doubt about it. And again, it's because he is a good player. I mean, what, three-time Pro Bowler, went to the Pro Bowl last year. He can make plays and do all these different things. But, you know, everybody is, you know, now seems to be worried about draft capital. But it's like, no, you just need players.
Right. Oh, the way everyone obsesses about the first round,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, just another draft pick. I mean, you pay a little bit more for it, but it's just another draft pick. And if you get Richard Sherman in the fifth round as opposed to the first round, you know, good for you. Bully for you. Same thing. If you get Russell Wilson in the third round and he's a first-round talent, good news. So, you know, I think there are fair questions that can be asked about the talent process the past couple of years, and has it slipped a little bit because it's showing it on the field this year. But and I think those questions will be asked. You know, we'll see if, in fact, there's going to be, you know, we haven't heard much from ownership since Paul Allen's passed. Maybe we will this offseason if they continue to struggle. But they've also got... as you pointed out in the piece you wrote, Russell Wilson is now healthy.
Mm-hmm.
He looked a lot like Russell Wilson has looked in previous parts of his career last week. And if he looks that way, they're likely to have a pretty good finish as opposed to a terrible finish.
Right, exactly. And, of course, tomorrow should be an easy game against Houston because Houston's so bad.
Yeah, that's the one that worries me because of that exact reason. I mean, you know, but and as we all know, that Houston didn't they beat Tennessee?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, although you know a team that beat Seattle, so everyone's capable in the league. But no, your point is well taken. With Russell Wilson back and you know, hopefully still motivated, you know, we'll see how they do against Houston. I think they're going to struggle, John, just because I think the team is in a difficult spot right now. But mm-hmm. They're definitely better than the Texans and should win the ball game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. On the college front, what's your thoughts on what happened at Oregon with the Oregon coach heading out to Miami? You know, they hire the Georgia defensive coordinator. I mean, that's stunning.
I agree. I thought it happened fast in terms of the hiring. The whole thing happened fast. You know, mm-hmm. It's what happens when you step out of your comfort zone and you hire a guy from Miami. And Chris DeBall did a nice job for him, but you know, was going to go back to his alma mater if it happened. And you know, I think it's a very interesting choice by the Ducks because I really, really did think that they were going to go back to the Chip Kelly way of doing things. And if they couldn't get him, get someone like him or, you know, remain in the pond fishing for a much bigger name than they did.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, they get a guy who's recruiting in an area where Oregon recruits nationally. They get talent everywhere. So, you know, maybe this gives them some insight into getting some talent in that part of the country now.
Yeah, no doubt. But I thought it was just surprising because, again, just came out of the blue. But, of course, I guess maybe people started figuring it out. But, you know, one thing about Cristobal is that he's a very good recruiter. I don't know how good of a coach he is, but he's a very good recruiter. And they lose that ability to have that recruit.
Right. But they're getting a guy who, by definition, is probably mm-hmm. a good recruiter too, John. So, I mean, and that, you know, Oregon has still got what they've got to the show for it. And they've still got the most beautiful, you know, facilities that anyone's got is as nice as the Huskies have stepped up and done. So, you know, they'll have a shot to be good. That's for sure. It just surprises me they're not going back to that offensive way of playing that their fan base seemed to like so much.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Kind of interesting that Washington State's going back to the spread.
Deaker, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, but they're going back to the old offense with Mike Leach.
It's going to be fun. I mean, that Mike Leach's offense is stolen from Hal Mumme at Kentucky, the original air raid. And you know, they strayed from it a little bit with the run and shoot, but still kept a lot of the principles in it. And it's a smart move. I mean, it helps you get tremendous. You know, think about the quarterbacks that Mike Leach was getting there mm-hmm. through the transfer portal, and I mean that keeps that door open for that. So I think that it was a popular offense with the fans and the players, and I think it's a smart decision to do it.
Yeah, and of course, I mean it is the air raid, so it should be kind of fun and you know a lot of passing yards and stuff like that. So
although
that
the thing is, the air raid never did beat the Huskies, did it?
Nope, it never did. No. But they at least Washington State did this year. What's your thoughts on Washington and how they're putting their staff together?
I thought that it look you know I think we talked about it. We had a chance to talk about it a couple weeks ago right before he was hired that you know what made sense to me was to look for a guy who could recruit effectively in California mm-hmm. and that's what they've gotten. I mean the Kalen DeBoer was winning at Fresno State. Has been recruiting in that part of the country. If you're Washington, that's where you want to hit it. And he's an offensive-minded coach, so, I mean, you've got that going. So that's been something that was really, really lacking this year. Perhaps, although it doesn't look like now, his quarterback, Josh Haener, who was at Washington and transferred to play for him, may come back here, may not. We'll see. But you got a coach who's going to bring in a big-time offensive program and has been coaching in California, so that's where you want to be recruiting. I thought from the Husky standpoint, it was maybe not the sexiest choice, but it was a solid choice.
And then finally, your thought on the Kraken and the way this season is going.
You know, I'm not as pessimistic as others are because I see in the Kraken a playoff team. I mean, they're not playing consistently that way yet. You know, they sure looked really good, you know, that stretch 2 weeks ago, and then they showed they could knock off the very best. They're not consistent yet. They're still experimenting with lines, and I know it's driving Mike Salk crazy. Dave Haxtell is experimenting with lines, you know, an awful lot, but to me that's kind of what you do when you're figuring things out with a brand new team, and you hope to have it squared away with the last 20 games of the season, you know, upon you, and then you just kind of go forward there. We'll see if that's the case here, but you know, I've seen individually, you know, just the stuff that you've seen the goalie get hot, you've seen the offense connect and look really good at times. They're not consistent yet, but that's something that I think can happen to an expansion team as the year goes on. So mm-hmm. I remain a little more optimistic than some that they're going to be fine this year.
Okay, so what's on the agenda for the Groz this weekend?
Just walking around my walker, John, and not getting myself hurt.
That's a good move.
Yeah.
I hope you take good care of your knee. Sorry to
take good care of your throat, buddy.
Okay, I'll do that. And, of course, that's our weekly dose of the Groz with Dave Grosby. Talk to you next week.
Sounds good, John.
Okay. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Our thanks to Matt Nelson for running the show. Our thanks to Matt Nelson for producing the show. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Going to get out an hour early because, again, just trying to, you know, make sure the voice is going to be okay. Made it through almost 2 hours here. Let's go to Risco in Washington. Hey, Risco.
Hey, John.
Hey.
How have you been?
Sick. Not good. I mean, you know, fighting the cold.
Well, I hope you get better soon.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Here are my questions.
Yeah.
Who's the best third baseman for the Seattle Mariners right now in free agency?
That I don't know, because I haven't really studied the free agent market. I mean, you know, they can take the second baseman from last year and move him over to third. But at the moment, I mean, there's no signings or anything like that because of the fact that you got a lockout.
Yeah, because from my sources, Carlos Correa,
mm-hmm.
he's been linked to the Mariners and some rumors.
Okay.
So they might put him at third base.
No, that'd be a great addition, no doubt about it. Take him away from one of the division teams. That would be huge.
Yeah, and I have one last question.
Mm-hmm.
What mistake do the Mariners not need to make in order for them to have a good free agency?
Well, I guess the key is to make sure that their second pitcher that they sign, you know, they got a Cy Young Award winner and they probably need another starter, that they make the right choice on that, making sure that they're okay with the bullpen and probably still need to add one more hitter to either first base or as a DH. So, you know, that's what they need to make those things right. Hey, Risco, thank you for the phone call.
And I'm your number one fan, John. Thank you for putting me on the air.
Hey, thank you. Let's go. Let's wrap it up with Dan in Queen Anne. Hey, Dan.
Hey, John.
Hey.
A great show. You're pulling a Michael Jordan on us.
Thank you.
Sick as can be and still knocking it out.
I appreciate that.
And glad that you're going to take care of yourself and take care of Pat. So,
yeah.
That's huge. So Tell the Truth Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's been something that I've missed a key component on as I've gone through the 10 plus Pete Carroll years, and some of the former players that walked away not happy kind of talked about that he didn't hold Russ accountable the way he did the rest of the team. And whether that's true or not, it feels like he doesn't hold himself accountable that way. Here's my take on it. The NFL has changed in the last 10 years, no question about
Agreed.
It. And a lot of things have changed, including offensive and defensive coordinators making changes in their strategies, you know, series to series, sometimes play to play.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete has kind of stuck with his, especially on defense, we're going to put our defense out there, and we think that this defense will be able to handle whatever you throw at us. And obviously offensive coordinators have gotten good at going, yeah, we know what you're going to do, and we're going to play to your weaknesses, whatever they might be, depending on the players.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the problems with that has been their offensive line, that whole general strategy.
Right.
They have good enough players. They do.
Mm-hmm.
Think of all of the teams that are fielding offensive line that may have one Pro Bowl player or a couple of Pro Bowl players or an All-Pro player, but the rest of the guys are people we've never heard of,
mm-hmm.
right? And
right.
they're doing a good job. That's scheme. That's not talent. That's scheme. And teaching somebody skill and getting them to go out and execute.
Right.
And Pete hasn't been able to do that since he got here. He's had some lines that were okay to good, but never very good to great. Never. And I look at Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy just keeps putting offensive lines out there that do the job. And it's bizarre because sometimes none of them are named players.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like Pete has not owed up to his whole philosophy of, I'm going to tell the truth on myself. And that's what my players need to do. And he's kind of hung his players out to dry because of it. Because of this strategy of, I'm not going to begin to adjust as the league adjusts. And you made a point today that I thought was awesome. DK Metcalf's not worth two firsts and a third. Now, I'm with the Groz. I haven't written off Jamal Adams, but he wasn't worth two firsts and a third.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a million years was he worth that.
Right.
And I really feel like we might have had some players over this season that have been playing hurt, and we just never find out about it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this strategy that Pete has been married to the last 10 years has really proven this year to be the detriment of the team.
Yeah, but again, it worked for 9 years. I mean, look at the fact of how many playoffs. You went to 2 Super Bowls, all those different things.
I agree with you. I totally agree. Don't get sick of winning. Love that idea. But how much better would they have been had he started making these adjustments?
Hard to tell. Hey, I'm going to run here because I'm going to go under the covers and cough this all out. So
thanks, John. Take care of yourself.
Dan, thank you, and thanks, everybody. We'll be here next week from 8 to 11 on the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.